Well, happy Father's Day, guys. Glad you are here today, and I hope you have a great day. We got a little bit cooler weather today just because of the cloud cover, and that's a blessing in and of itself. We're really glad that you're here. Hey, have you ever taken your kid to college and left them? You ever done that before? Some of you have, some of you haven't. And even as a dad, when I've taken my kids, at least the first year to college, I take the kids to the dorm, you know, drop them off. We move them in, drop them off, I leave. And as I'm leaving, it's like, oh, goodness, this is sad. I'm leaving my kid here, you know? Anybody ever experienced that kind of a thing? Some of you have, some of you have. Well, hey, listen, the Bryan family, their daughter Cassie got married a few months ago, and they are moving her out to her husband, who is in the military in San Diego. And they are, San Diego, California, that is. They are moving her out there this week. And so if you would, keep the Bryan family in your prayers, not just for safe travel mercies, but I would say for them to be able to handle dropping the daughter off all the way across the country, right? So keep them in your prayers. I know they would really appreciate that. Have you ever heard of the comedian Billy Crystal? Anybody? Comedian Billy Crystal, yeah. Some of Billy Crystal's, best hits he's ever had are movies like City Slickers. You ever watch City Slickers? City Slickers 1, City Slickers 2. Is there a City Slickers 3? I'm not sure. There's not? Okay. How about the movie, anybody like the movie Princess Bride? Yeah, that's like a cult classic. That's an absolutely great movie. Or the movie, When Harry Met Sally, right? Right? All you ladies like that movie, right? Most of us guys are like, oh, give us Princess Bride, we'll be okay with that. Or the movie Analyze This. You ever seen the movie Analyze This? Another great Billy Crystal movie. Well, when Billy Crystal's daughter turned 11 years old, guess where he was? He was in New York City filming a movie when she turned 11 years old. And so he called home on her birthday, and he said, hey, honey, I'm really sorry for not being there for your birthday today, but I'm telling you what, there's going to be a great big package that's going to be delivered to the house to you today. And so that's how he left it with her. Well, later after that phone call, Billy Crystal went to the airport, hopped a plane, flew all the way from New York City all the way to Los Angeles, California, and when she opened up her front door, she saw standing right in front of her this massive 6-foot-tall box. And so she's excited because guess what? Dad told her there's going to be a great big present delivered to you later in the day. And so she starts ripping that present open on the front steps of their house. And guess who she found inside? The dad, exactly right. She found Billy Crystal inside. And Billy Crystal said this. He said, she hugged me for like 5 minutes. It was unbelievable. And then he went on to say this. He said, I missed 25 birthdays with my dad, and I'm not going to let that happen with my girls. You see, Billy Crystal was only 15 years old when his dad died of a heart attack. It seems to me that a lot more dads these days, as opposed to many, many years ago, it seems to me that a lot more dads today are making an extra effort to be good dads. And why is that? I mean, why is that? Maybe it's because their dads weren't around much when they were kids, and they made a vow to be a better dad. Or maybe it's because wives are more outspoken. Wives are maybe more outspoken, and they just insist that dad be around for the more important days. But I would really hope more and more dads today are increasingly frightened about the state of our culture. I mean, think about the state of our culture today. We got random mass shootings, even at schools. Not only that, there's rioting going on. There's looting going on. And you see, biblical values for men, biblical values for women, biblical values for families today are being totally discarded. Our culture is coming unraveled at the seams in so many different ways. And the primary problem, at least in my estimation, the primary problem is the breakdown of the family. The breakdown of the family. You see, the answer is not ultimately in metal detectors at schools. The answer isn't ultimately at metal detectors at sporting events. The answer isn't ultimately at defunding the police departments around the country. The answer, in my estimation, is building the strong family in America. Building a strong Christian family in America. You see, the Bible teaches this. The Bible teaches that God is at the center of the family. And when God is not at the center of the family, there is something that's going to go terribly wrong. There's a lot to be desired. Now, today, what I want to talk about is basically how to be a better man. And since it's Father's Day, how to be a better dad. How can we do that? I've got three different ways that we can be a better man and a better dad. First of all is this. That is to live under God's authority. Men and dads need to live under God's authority. Check this. In fact, this scripture that we're going to be looking at today is found in the book of Psalms. If you don't know where the book of Psalms is in your Bible, just take your Bible. If you brought your Bible with you, just open it up to the very middle of your Bible. There you'll find the book of Psalms. Turn to chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, get your smartphone out, click to Psalm chapter 1. And this is primarily what we're going to be looking at today. Psalm chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. There it says, God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it. How often do they think about it, friends? How often? Day and night. Exactly right. They think about it day and night. Now, whether you know this or not, there are two major worldviews at work today. You've got the contemporary worldview, and then you've got God's worldview. The contemporary worldview believes that we are here by a mere accident. We are here by a mere accident of evolution. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters in this life except how you want to live your life. You are here in this life by accident. Nothing really matters except how you want to live life. And you are free to determine what's right and what's wrong. You are free to determine what the way you want to live your life. And you know what that's called? That's actually called, you ever heard of this? Moral relativism. We've talked about it quite a bit in church through the years past, but it's called moral relativism. Moral relativism says that you determine what's right and wrong in your life despite what other people say. However, in God's worldview, you are His creation. In God's worldview, you've got a purpose in this life. And when it comes to right and wrong in this world, guess what? Right and wrong are settled by God and God alone. Right and wrong are settled by God's Word and Him alone. And according to the contemporary worldview, unborn children are an option. If you don't want that child that you're carrying, go ahead. Have an abortion. It's okay because it may not fit your lifestyle. But God will tell you that every single unborn baby is actually a person. Every single unborn baby is actually a person and not just a cluster of cells in your body. You see, life in God's eyes is not an accident. And you know what the world will tell you too? Parents, the world will tell you this. Do not impose your belief system on your children. Do not impose your values on your children. Because if you impose your values, if you impose your belief system, you might turn them off. Let them choose for themselves. And if you let them choose for themselves, eventually they'll know what's right and what's wrong for them. Remember those words? Moral relativism. They'll choose what's right and wrong for them. You see, there are parents by the hundreds of thousands all across America who actually subscribe to this, who actually believe this. However, check out and see what God says in Proverbs chapter 29. This is what God says. He says, to discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. Guess what? The world will tell you, don't spank your kids. That's child abuse. Don't spank your kids because that will teach them violence. But guess what God says about that? God says this in Proverbs 13:24. He says, whoever refuses to spank his son hates him. But whoever loves his son disciplines him from early on. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not advocating child abuse in any way, shape, or form. Not at all. Sandy and I found out early on that, guess what? Each one of our kids responded to different kinds of discipline. I read a story a long time ago about a father who was hauled into court for spanking his 13-year-old kid. Now, in my estimation, 13 years old is a little bit old to be spanking your kids. I can remember the day I spanked one of my kids. He was 12 years old. And after I got done giving him several good swift swats on the rump, I thought to myself, you know what? We're past this right now. This isn't going to work right now. And so in my estimation, 12, 13 years old might be a bit old. However, this guy did it. He was hauled into court, and the 13-year-old kid was caught drinking alcohol. Caught drinking alcohol, the dad gave his kid 4 whacks with a paddle. The son, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, right? Justin, how tall are you? Huh? 6'6", okay. Yeah. 6 feet, 3 inches tall. He weighed 200 pounds. But the dad gave him 4 swift swats with a paddle on the rump. And the dad was hauled into court. The judge, guess what? The judge acquitted him of any crime whatsoever. And the dad was asked in an interview by some reporter, the dad was asked, did your son say anything at all? And the dad responded this way. He said, my son looked at me and said, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You see, the world's going to tell you that it's the government who's in charge of your kid. The world's going to tell you that the government is ultimately responsible for your child. The government will determine what you teach your children. As far as sexuality goes, as far as birth control goes, as far as abortion goes, as far as moral values goes. But guess what? That's not how God sees it. You see, God teaches that dads are the ones who are responsible to ultimately raise their kids. You say, well, really? Come on. God says that? Yeah, God says that. Check out Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is, verse 21. Chapter 6, verse 4. It says there, fathers, bring them up. That is your children. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And I guess if you want to boil everything down, ultimately it comes to this question. Under whose authority will you live? And you might want to ask yourself that question right now. Under whose authority am I going to live? Am I going to live under the government's authority? Am I going to live under moral relativism's authority? Or am I going to live under God's authority in my life? You see, God's worldview or the world's worldview. A great illustration of submission and authority can really be found in the book of Philippians there in the New Testament. It's the encouragement book. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, this is what it says. Christ Jesus, in talking about Jesus, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You see, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion. Remember that? The night before Jesus was crucified, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying a lot. And as he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples were over there. And as Jesus was praying, he was struggling inside. He was saying, God, I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to go to the cross. God, I don't want to have to be crucified. God, I don't want to. But guess where Jesus landed on that whole thing? Jesus landed by saying, God, not my will here, but your will be done. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 5 again, a little bit before where I started before. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. You and I, Christians in general, have the same attitude that Jesus did. As dads, as moms, as bosses, as employees, as Sunday school teachers, as small group leaders, as Christians, we are called to live under the authority, the umbrella authority of God Himself. He's the one who calls the shots in our lives. He's the one who says what's right and what is wrong. And husbands, let me say this. As husbands, we're not to be the dictator in the home, barking out our orders. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. Do this now and do this then. No, that's not the way God rolls it out in the Bible. If you look at Ephesians 5:21, God there talks about a mutual submission. Each of you submitting to one another in a mutual sort of way. There's a sign I saw years and years ago that hung in a paint store. And the sign in the paint store read this way: husbands choosing paint colors must have notes from their wives. Can anybody identify with that? I can really identify with that because I'm colorblind. Now, I can see colors, but many of the colors I see aren't the right colors. And so when I saw that sign, I thought, yeah, that's me all over, right? Here's a second quality for dads. Provide security for those under your care. Provide security for those under your care. Check this out. In the book of Psalms again, chapter 1, this time verses 3 and 4. They are like trees. Yeah, they're like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always have leaves. Those people succeed. Those people succeed in everything they do. But that isn't true for those who are evil, because they are like straw blown by the wind. I put together four different ways that as dads, as husbands, we can provide security for our kids. And here's the first one. We can provide security for our kids by consistently supplying the physical needs without complaint. We can provide security by providing, or should say supplying, the physical needs without complaint. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the truth, and such people are worse than unbelievers. Guess what, dads? That talks to every single one of us. That talks to us. Provide the necessities for those who are in your home. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to live like a millionaire. That doesn't mean that you need to have a great big huge mansion. That doesn't mean that you provide a Lamborghini for your 15, 16-year-old kid. No. Although that would be nice, right? That'd be really nice, right? But what it means is this: manage the money that you do have, manage it wisely. Earn an honest living. Share generously. And the result of those things, the result is this: your kids will feel secure. How many of you ever heard this phrase? Oh, we grew up poor, but we didn't even know it. Anybody ever grow up saying that? Oh, we grew up poor, but we didn't even know it. Why do people say something like that? People say something like that, I believe, because dad provided for the family without complaining about it. Here's a second way that you can provide security, and that is by consistent behavior. Consistent behavior. The Apostle Paul wrote a young pastor whose name is Timothy. And this is what he wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He said, keep a close watch on how you live. Keep a close watch on how you live. And he didn't stop there. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and for the salvation of those who hear you. In other words, make sure that there is a consistency between your walk and your talk. Make sure there's a consistency between how you live your life out every single day and what you say. You say this, and you say this, and you say this. Make sure that you're living that out every single day. Make sure of that. Here's another way to provide security, and that is consistent, reasonable discipline. consistent, reasonable discipline. Ted Engstrom, Christian author, speaker, he defined integrity this way. Integrity is doing what you say you're going to do. It's doing what you say you're going to do. You see, that means that when you tell your young child, quit kicking the seat in front of you, if that young child does not stop, keep kicking, if that child does not stop kicking the seat in front of them, guess what? You need to give them a good swift swat. Yeah, you follow through. And you know what? There's a certain security, I think, in discovering that dad does what he says he's going to do. And here's another one. You tell your daughter that, guess what? There's no dating until you're 16 years old. No dating until you're 16 years old. She turns 15 years old, and there's this really, really great young man that kind of shows up in her life. Somebody's really, really impressive. But dad, you need to follow through. Because there's a certain security in knowing that your dad's going to do what he says he's going to do. We've got some friends of ours who live in Brownsburg, and they have two children, a boy and a girl. Those two children are now out of the house. Each of them have their own kids. But when they lived in the home, the daughter was 15 years old, and this impressive young man, when he was 15 as well, he kind of came into her life. Well, she wasn't 16 yet. She was still 15. And this young man invited her, gave her a phone call, invited her to another friend's house just to hang out for the evening. And she says, no, I don't think my dad will let me do that. What you need to do is come get me. You need to somehow come pick me up. And remember, this young man is 15 years old, right? And so this young man figured it out. He figured it out. He had his parents bring him to her house in order for him to pick her up to take her back to these other people's house. And so this young man got a ride to her house. He walked up to the door. He knocked on the door. And guess what? The dad opened up the door. The dad had a nice little chat with the young man. And the two left with the boy's parents to someone else's house. You see, you need to follow through with that kind of thing, Dad. That's responsibility. That's taking your responsibility in training up your children. Here's a fourth way to provide security, and that's by unconditional love. Unconditional love. You know, your coach will absolutely love your kid when they're winning in the game, right? Your teacher will absolutely love your student, your child, when they're excelling academically. Your friends, your kids' friends, will just absolutely love them because they're so funny. But as a dad, guess what? As a dad, you love them even though they might be sitting the bench for the entire game. You still love them. If your child's not that gifted academically, you know what? You love them with A's and you love them with D's. You love your kid if they're a knockout or if they're just looking pretty ordinary like every other kid. Anybody heard of a guy by the name of Boomer Esiason? Ever heard of Boomer Esiason? Former Bengals football. You've heard of him, Condi? Yeah. Yeah, Condi's our local Bengals fan, right? At least for the moment. But anyway, Boomer Esiason, Bengals quarterback. And he played for the Bengals years and years. He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame if he isn't there already. But Boomer Esiason has a son whose name is Gunner. Gunner has cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a lung disease. I think Gunner now is like in college. But Gunner Esiason, 7 years old, had cystic fibrosis. On Father's Day, when he was 7 years old, this is what Boomer wrote to his son, Gunner. He wrote a note to his son, and it reads this way. Not only are you a joy and a treasure, you're also the bravest little boy I know. With all you've been through, the needles, the x-rays, the physical therapy, the medicines, the nagging cough, you know, in spite of all of that, you found a way to play and flourish in school and in ice hockey. You're a terrific student, and I'm as proud of you as any dad could possibly be. Gunner Esiason will never, ever play NFL football, but his dad loves him unconditionally. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, 13 verse 7. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Here's a third quality for dads, a third quality for men in general. Prepare the family for eternity. Dads, make sure that your family, your kids, your wife, make sure that your family is prepared for eternity. Look back at Psalm chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Sinners won't have an excuse on the day of judgment. They won't have a place with the people of God. The Lord protects everyone who follows Him, but the wicked follow a road that leads to ruin. Dads, our greatest responsibility is not to teach our kids not to talk to strangers, although that is extremely important. Dads, our greatest responsibility is to make sure your kids know Jesus Christ. That's your greatest responsibility in this life. Make sure they know Jesus Christ. Years ago, there were some sociologists, and they did an extensive study on the family. They're from USC, University of Southern California. And one of the sociologists, a PhD, he wrote this, Dr. Bengston, he wrote this. He said, "We found to our surprise that in almost every area except religion, feelings about work, politics, marriage, economics, young people's attitudes most closely match those of their mother. But in the area of religion, the father's attitude prevailed. But in the area of religion, the father's attitude prevailed." That is why Scripture is hammering to dads time and again. It says, fathers, teach your children. Dads, raise your children. You see, a dad has more influence on his kids than the mom does when it comes to matters of faith. The dad has more influence when it comes to matters of moral values. The dad has more influence when it comes to church attendance. The dad has more influence when it comes to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the eternal destiny of kids is largely entrusted to dads. That's a huge responsibility. That's a huge burden on your shoulders. But guess what? We don't have to do that alone. If we've got that relationship with Jesus Christ that may be growing, guess what? We are not alone in this job that we've got. I heard a while ago about a guy who lived in the nursing home. He lived in the memory unit because he had Alzheimer's. And every single Sunday, his daughter and her husband and the grandkids would come visit this dad in the nursing home. They'd sit in the courtyard of the nursing home and they'd just visit and they'd laugh and they'd have fun with each other. However, the longer they did this, the more feeble the elderly gentleman's mind became. He began getting all of their names confused with one another, even occasionally forgetting some names. He couldn't find his way back to his room. But every single Sunday, every single Sunday like clockwork, guess where that gentleman was? He was in the courtyard waiting on his family. Well, one Sunday rolled around and the daughter asked her dad, she says, "Dad, do you know what day of the week it is?" He didn't know. And then the daughter said, "Dad, if you don't know what's Sunday, how do you know to meet us in the courtyard today?" And this was his reply. He said, "I come out here every day just to wait for you. I come out here every day just to wait for you." You see, the reality is this. Dads love the company of their kids. Dads love the company of their family. So much so that when they're young, the dads will fly from New York City all the way to Los Angeles just to be there for the daughter's birthday. Dads love their families, their kids so much that they're willing to sit in the courtyard of the nursing home every day in hopes that they come for a visit. And guess what? Your heavenly Father will meet you someday. When it's your time, He will meet you someday, hopefully, when you go to be home with Him. He loves you that much. And today, if you don't have a relationship with Him, I'm telling you what, He wants to have a relationship with you, and He wants to spend eternity with you. And how did He do that? Do you see this cross? Jesus Christ died on a cross for you and all the bad stuff that you've done, all the sins that you've done in your life. He doesn't care what it is. He died for you so that you can spend eternity with Him. And it comes through that cross. He loves you that much. Every single week here at Fairfield, we celebrate the cross. Back in the first century, that was an emblem of shame. That was an emblem that would embarrass people. Only criminals were killed that way. Criminals, scum of the earth, right? But we celebrate that every single week because that symbolizes for you and me, it symbolizes life. Life for eternity. So Keith Kramer, one of our elders, is going to be leading us in a thought as we prepare for communion.
I don't know if you know it or not, but every year Google receives over 2 million